We are focusing this month on Thanksgiving, appropriately, and this passage is a passage that focuses on Thanksgiving. Paul thanks the Lord for his co-worker named Titus. And I was started by thinking how thankful we are and should be for one another who serve. I was thinking of those that serve behind the scenes. There are two individuals in this passage whose names are not even given, but Paul is thankful for them. I just noticed those little things, like we have someone that mows this large yard next to us. It takes 3 or 4 hours, just comes and volunteers to mow. I think of those that are serving the nursery this morning and waiting for this sermon to be over. It's amazing how the clock goes so slowly back there. I'm thankful for those who clean our bathrooms. Don't you like a clean bathroom? I have this habit of going, with, if I'm traveling, public restroom, the janitor's in there. Thank you for your service, because I appreciate that. There are people who decorate our sanctuary, and we're going to be decorating soon for Christmas coming up. And we're just thankful for people who quietly do things. How about Thursday night when there's the ministry, to chosen ministry, and people volunteer to watch the kids there? Thankfulness, thankfulness. Paul is thankful to the Lord for Titus because God had put in his heart an earnest care for others. Have you ever tried to motivate someone? If God puts an earnest care in your heart, that's part of the way God leads us to serve. When we see a need, we feel that concern that God puts on our heart to meet that need. We have people that count the offerings in a closet. I mean, that is a thankless task, right, of service for us. The thankfulness for one another. Thankful for what God has put on their hearts, this desire to serve and this willingness to serve. In this passage, Paul is preparing Titus for going to Jerusalem to meet a physical need. Apparently, there was a famine in Jerusalem. The church at Jerusalem was struggling. People were hungry. Needs were being met. And Paul was gathering a gift for the church in Jerusalem. And he recognized if he just sent off his buddy Titus to gather a big financial gift, someone might be wondering, is that money getting to the destination? Have you ever donated to a charity and wondered, where is this money going? Well, he said, I need to send somebody with Titus, not only my companion, my co-worker, my co-laborer, who I am so thankful for. He says, let me send somebody else. It says in verse 18, with him, we are sending the brother who is famous among all the churches for his preaching of the gospel. Do you know who this is? Nope. I don't know either. But he's famous. Only man mentioned is Titus, and then two brothers are mentioned. But you notice what his task was? He was famous for preaching the gospel. There's a debate in churches like ours that should we be ministering to social needs, physical needs, or should we focus just on preaching the gospel, spiritual needs? Physical needs, spiritual needs. I think the answer is both. That's what it says. Aren't you thankful for people who are putting food on the shelves in our food pantry? I know the people that come on Friday are thankful that someone took the time to put food on those shelves. But Paul didn't feel the ministry was complete unless he sent someone along who would share the gospel. I believe Jesus sets the example when he preached the gospel to the multitudes. In Mark chapter 6, he said he looked at the masses of people and said, they're like sheep without a shepherd. And what did he do? He taught them many things. Then he preached all day long. Set your clocks. And at the end of the day, his disciples, so caring, said, send them away. And he said, feed them. Jesus minister to people's souls and to their bodies. I was looking at Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Remember, psychology, remember Maslow's? The basic need of hunger, food, the highest needs are spiritual needs. It's tough to hear this when you're hungry here. It's hard. It's hard to hear it without meeting the whole person's need. Jesus demonstrated, and Paul now demonstrates, that as you collect a gift to feed the church, you also preach the gospel. It's a both and, not an either or. So he gathers one other person to go along with Paul. He describes him as the one who is preaching the gospel. And verse 19, and not only that, but he has been appointed by the churches to travel with us as we carry out this act of grace that is being ministered to us. So how did they pick these leaders? Paul, it says, selected, sent, but it also says the church appointed, and we have to go back and say the Holy Spirit already put it on their heart. So there's three aspects of the selection of these leaders. God put it on Titus's heart. That was a work of God to prepare a leader. Then there was also the recognition by existing leaders, sending them. But the third part was appointed by the congregation. And the word appointed literally means raising of hands. Now, I'm not sure it still literally meant raising hands, but it did mean that if you brought a new leader, they would be acknowledged, they'd be recognized, they'd be given the authorization of the congregation as well. So now there's two people going on this trip. But why did he send this additional person? He says in verse 20, we take this course so that no one should blame us about this generous gift that is being administered by us. For we aim at what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of man. It was called accountability, right? It was accountability. Titus would have two others to go along with him to make sure that the money that was given by the churches of Achaia, Corinth, would actually get to the destination and meet the needs of the people. There was accountability. Accountability is a good thing. I'm a believer in accountability. When you go through life, you definitely need to be seeking to honor the Lord. Absolutely. But we also need a brother alongside to say, how are you doing in following the Lord? We need both, right? We need the vertical. We need the horizontal. We need this accountability. Paul said, you're giving this significant gift. We definitely want to honor the Lord with that gift, but we want to also be accountable to the people on how that gift is distributed. So he expressed appreciation. Then there's this appointment. And then there was accountability. And I like what this translation, it keeps calling it an act of grace. Act of grace. I don't know if you're reading their Bible online these days, but this is the first time I looked at a verse, and then I went, okay, what other translations? I used to have to go grab a couple more translations. You just go, bink, ESV, bink, King James Version. I'm going down here, and this is the only translation that calls it an act of grace. The New American Standard calls it a gracious work. Gracious work. What we discover about this act of grace is we act because God is gracious to us. Our motivation for working and serving is God and His grace toward us. That's what mobilizes and motivates a believer to serve. Not because of what others think or how they treat us, but how God has led us and we've experienced His grace. So this act of grace was an act of giving physical support, but is also an act of grace now that meant preaching the gospel. That was an act of grace. All of our actions as Christ followers should be acts of grace, not acts of works, meaning it's not so, oh my goodness, can you see how wonderful I am? But acts of grace We function and serve because we're recipients of God's grace. It's an act of grace. Now, how does he advance this? He advances ministry with one another. Notice in verse 22, and with them we are sending our brother. That's another one. So Titus, the preaching of the gospel brother, now another brother. Why three? Titus was Paul's buddy. I think he wanted the witness of two to witness to what Titus was doing. Does that make sense? Two witnesses. There's times when I meet with a setting and I say, I need two witnesses. I need two people here just to hold us accountable and be aware of what's happening in this room right now. Two, to witness to Titus. Imagine this. If all of us were reliant on the Apostle Paul to hear the gospel, how many of us would have heard the gospel? None of us would, right? So Paul practiced a ministry of multiplication through others. You notice that's the biblical principle. Elijah trains Elisha. Elijah, Elisha, right? Moses, Joshua. Naomi, Ruth. On and on it goes. Jesus, the apostles. Paul, Timothy, and now Titus. You have this ministry of multiplication. If we do our acts of service, and I know there's times of private acts of service, but if we are teaching children in Sunday school, the first thing we ought to be thinking is, who can I take with me? Who can I invite with me to serve alongside me so that they can get the opportunity to love on these little kids? Then you take a month vacation and say, I'll see you later. No. You do it for a while, and then when they're equipped, then they can multiply as well. Ministry of multiplication. Success in ministry requires developing a successor in ministry. Paul multiplied through Titus. Titus is now bringing two alongside him to do ministry. It's multiplication of ministry. That's the principle that Paul provides. So it's a ministry of multiplication. It is a ministry of accountability, but it's also a ministry that's a team effort. When we're engaged in ministry, have you noticed we're not good at everything? Just one little story. I was a youth pastor many years ago, and I could not play the guitar like Paul, right? I couldn't play the guitar. And I'm thinking, how can you be a youth pastor and not play the guitar? What kind of, you don't qualify. And then God put on my heart, said, well, you can't play the guitar, but others play the guitar. If you could play the guitar, you wouldn't be thinking about inviting someone else to play the guitar. And sure enough, we had four guitar players in my first youth group because I couldn't play the guitar. Because if I could have played the guitar, I would have played the guitar, and then four others would not have had the opportunity to play the guitar. You got it? You got it. That's the way it works. It's actually good not to be good at everything, and all of us fit that category. And so Paul built a team. So it was accountability, it was multiplication, but it was also different gifts being exercised. One was had the preaching of the gospel gift, and others had different gifts. And they both all serve together. It appears that this third gentleman, the brother, was good at many things, but he was often tested. We're in a church where every childcare worker has a background check. You can't watch children until you've been involved in our church for 6 months. And those are accountability. It's a good thing. It's an important thing. We always have two children's workers in the room. Two. Is it because we don't trust anyone? No, because we want to be honoring to the Lord and before people, right? We want people to be aware of us being responsible for your children. And that's that accountability. But he's advancing this ministry through team effort and multiplication of ministry through others. I don't usually think of a church business meeting as an application to a message. But it just fit here. Here was just really practical stuff in this passage. It was very practical. It was, how do you do ministry in a way that holds people accountable? And that's what we do twice a year as a church. But this Wednesday is particularly meaningful, because what we do is we ask the congregation to give testimony of their thanks to God for one another and for acts of grace that they've experienced this past year. I love a Thanksgiving service. I always used to have it on Thanksgiving Eve. Found out that people had other places they were going on Thanksgiving Eve, so why not move it up one Wednesday? And so this Wednesday night, there's still Awana ministry, there's still student ministry, but you are the ministry on this Wednesday night when you prayerfully think how God has blessed and you've seen God work through someone else or God doing an act of grace. Let this be a Wednesday of testimony. What this really does is it's an opportunity for us to give account to the congregation, to our membership, to be accountable to you, but also to have you tell us what God has been doing this past year. So look forward to seeing those that can come on Wednesday night. Also invite you at the end of the service, we have prayer. We'd love to pray for you this morning. My preaching ministry was changed by one statement I read, that 50% of those that come to church on a given Sunday morning have a significant hurt in their life today. And that changes perspective, doesn't it? So we welcome you to come forward for prayer. If you don't know the Lord, we'd love to share the gospel with you as well. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ministry of the Apostle Paul, a ministry of gratefulness for his co-workers, a ministry of accountability, a ministry of multiplication. And Lord, I pray that that would be true of us as a church, that we would demonstrate accountability, but we would also be engaged in multiplying ministry through others. It's not about us. As it was not about Paul, it's not about us. We want to pass the baton to the next generation to learn to serve you and love you and use their gifts. Thank you that it's the Holy Spirit who prompts our hearts. And I pray that you'd prompt each of our hearts to have that earnest care, that compassion, that concern for others, that what you put in Titus's heart. And Lord, I pray that we as a church family might be found faithful in serving you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.